This could be the start of our new podcast.
Or
I was just dancing.
Is that better?
No, I like that. So blessed. All right, we ready? Ready?
I feel like we need theme music.
Welcome to The Weekly, a podcast brought to you by Calvary Bible Church. I'm your host, Jay Ewing. So good that you're listening or tuning in to YouTube today. Before we get started in this conversation, do me a huge favor, visit calvarybible.com. Click your campus. Stay connected. Get connected here at Calvary by going to calvarybible.com. So many great things happening this spring. Easter's just right around the corner. We would love for you to step in this season if you haven't been, and join us as we celebrate the resurrected Jesus Christ. All right, into the conversation with Thomas Milburn. Thomas.
Jay, I was just setting up a lunch appointment.
Good.
Yeah.
What do you got for lunch today?
Today's actually with Scott, which is good. And then tomorrow's with the Erie PD.
What is, where are Scott and you going?
I don't know. Maybe Burger King?
There's no way
Scott
eats.
Do you think Scott eats
nope.
Burger King?
I can say nope. You have to find something else.
Yeah.
You went out to
eat. Where would you rank, like, Burger King in the quintessential, like, fast food burger spots?
On the lowest of the low.
Lowest of the low? Like, below McDonald's?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, yeah. You went out to lunch with Zach yesterday, Scott today.
Yeah.
Erie PD tomorrow.
It's too
Your
much.
Bro, Jay. You haven't been out to eat with Jay in a long time, bro.
I normally don't go out. I normally don't go out to lunch.
Uh-huh. It sounds normally, like you do a lot
yeah, this
without Jay. That's what
where,
it is.
Where do you want to go?
Yeah, where do I want
to
go?
Go to the gas, finally, you want to go to the gas station?
Finally you ask.
Yeah.
Finally you ask.
You know, when we were in Chicago a few weeks ago, yeah. I was talking to Solomon.
Yeah.
And he was telling me that on the regular, people are just like, let's go grab a hot dog like for lunch.
Yeah. That's because it's Illinois and they make hot dogs really well.
I love a hot dog. I wish there were more hot dog places you just grab one.
I mean, if we lived in a city, yes, we could go get a hot dog. Like New York City, you know, like when we were there a few summers ago, I was amazed at how many stands there are in every place.
There are a few places that do have hot dogs nearby outside the gas station.
I was wondering where you're
the
go.
Problem is though, they're like $12.
Right.
And you're like, the purpose of a hot dog is so that I spend $2.
Yeah. No doubt.
Anyway.
No doubt. Are you, when you go to a baseball game, I've been thinking about baseball lately because it's spring training. When you go to a baseball game.
Aren't you going down to spring training?
I am. For the very first time in my life.
That's amazing.
I finally make it to Mecca.
Are you going to go to the Dodgers in Florida?
No.
No.
Arizona.
Arizona.
We are going to go to Salt River Field.
Okay.
I think that's what it's called. I think that's what it's called.
Sweet. Rockies. Oh, man.
Yeah, spring training.
Okay, so spring training.
What's your favorite food at a baseball game?
Oh, a hot dog, 100%.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, you could go brat.
Yeah.
But yeah, something on a bun.
What do you put on your hot dog?
Two things.
Yes.
It is white onion
and
mustard.
Ooh, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm a white onion relish. And then mustard with a little hint of ketchup.
You put ketchup on?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm not from Chicago, man. I can put ketchup on.
It's America.
It's America.
To put whatever I want.
Right?
Yeah. But yeah, I could go for a brat too. I feel like I should eat more brats in my life.
That
might be
should.
A New Year's resolution.
Yes, 2025, eat more brats.
More brats, yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Gosh, they're so
Your
good.
Affiliation and love for the hot dog is hilarious. When you before you went on sabbatical, we sent you off in style. We actually rented a Rolly hot dog machine.
Yeah,
it made you hot dogs.
I actually after that looked into buying one.
That's great. You know, hot dogs really remind me, especially with onion and mustard, the work of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
That's my segue. Like that's a segue. That's what I got today.
How about here's a better segue.
Yeah.
You know how oftentimes people forget about the hot dog as a lunch item?
Yes.
People forget about the Holy Spirit in their life.
Ooh, that's even better.
Good?
You must be a preacher. You must be a preacher.
All right, where are you going to go?
Yeah. This is interesting because I feel like we, if we read 1 Corinthians, which I encourage everyone to maybe take a day to reread 1 Corinthians, sort of in the middle of the series, late end of the series, just re-familiarize yourself with the conversation because it is a letter. And as I was in conversation with Perry yesterday, he reminded me that, like, hey, man, it's read at one sitting.
Yeah.
Let's keep it all together. And so that would just be helpful. But it seems like in chapter 12, he is moving on to something between 12, 13, and 14 that I think he hasn't been in chapter 11 and 10. Is that correct?
I think
so.
For
the understanding of where this letter is going?
Yeah, it seems like chapter 7, 8, 12, 16 have some sort of indication by Paul's use of now concerning, mm-hmm. and then a topic. So it seems like he's addressing topics maybe they had written about or he became aware of.
Right.
So now concerning, he says spiritual gifts, which really is just spiritual things. Mm-hmm. It's not the idea of charismas, the graces, but of pneuma, of the Spirit.
Okay.
So concerning the things of the Spirit, and he's going to talk about giftings, charisma, like the graces that right. we experience, but just concerning spiritual things. And he's going to address many gifts, particularly around the unity of using those gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And then one in particular, he's going to give a lot of time to it, is this use of what he calls tongues. Mm-hmm. And we'll experience that when we get to chapter 14. We don't have to spend too much time today. But they must have had some sort of unhealthy preoccupation with tongues.
Right.
In Paul's mind, tongues is not that important of a gift. It would be like one of the least important gifts because it doesn't help build up the body. It's not intelligible, at least in his use of it here.
Right.
Now, it could be the same, could be different from its arrival in Acts where it's known languages. But regardless, he's addressing how do we use all of our gifts and not misuse them, specifically how they're to be used in the body.
Yeah. And the specific of this conversation is that he starts with, don't you know you have the Spirit?
Yeah.
And I think that's an important distinction of where we're at today in regards to, like, usually we're faulted, especially within the EFCA, as Father, Son, Holy Bible.
Yeah, that was
a historic sort of understanding of our movement. Although I would say in the last 10 years, we've moved into understanding the Holy Spirit based upon some great published works.
Yeah.
Some understanding of the Trinitarian God. Also, I think it's a time and age and place where these things are really matter to our culture and to our generational sort of leadership of church to come back towards the understanding of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it was Francis Chan's Forgotten God that really led the American church to think about this again. Yeah. But Paul here is talking about the Spirit. We're one in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
As you were thinking about this message and sort of starting to transition into a new topic now concerning, Paul says, I do not want you to be uninformed. What do you think, how have we been uninformed about the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there's a lot of uninformed Christians around who the Holy Spirit is. And probably because we don't talk about the Spirit a lot.
Right.
Or in some circles, it's all about the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And it's maybe even like a perversion or a corruption of what we should expect. Mm. Specifically around, like, is this the Holy Spirit's activity in someone's life? Or is this just other spiritual activity in someone's life?
Right.
I love that you point out, like, this whole conversation begins with understanding. Mm-hmm. We said this on Sunday, that all spiritual things begin with understanding.
That's super important because when you look at, and the world looks at these ideas, they don't understand what's going on.
Yeah. Or a lot of Christians, like, when they talk about their spiritual life, they talk about their experiences.
Right.
And Paul's saying, okay, let me help you understand correctly the experience that you're having. Mm-hmm. And some of these experiences are of the Holy Spirit and some are not.
Right.
Do you even know how to determine the difference? So it has to begin first with understanding. And to your point, like, where are they misinformed? I think it's probably in the separation of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. And I had mentioned on Sunday, I think for whatever reason, we've kind of cataloged Father work, Old Testament, and then Jesus. We like Jesus. He's the New Testament, really the gospel work that we gravitate towards. We're not totally sure what to do with the Holy Spirit,
right?
But he seems to be something after Jesus. And so we've separated them, we've divided them. And it's great because Paul's having this conversation. I think the whole theme is staying undivided in Corinthians. And this is a particular issue they're dividing around. Even around spiritual gifts of, okay, there's one Spirit, one Lord, one God. They're all the same. Mm-hmm. And so I think our understanding has to be that the Spirit is God. Like when Peter addresses Ananias and Sapphira, he says, you have not lied to man, you've lied to God, speaking of the Holy Spirit. And so he puts him in the category, Peter does, of that's the living God. And so it's one God in three persons, and the person of the Spirit is the one who was with Jesus, is the one who was at the beginning of creation, is the one who's with us.
Yeah,
that's where I think understanding has to begin.
Where, this is a curious question, where's the manifestation of the Spirit located with the Old Testament or the Old Covenant?
Yeah, all over the place. So Genesis 1, you have the Spirit hovering over the surface of the deep, of the darkness, right? He's the animating force of creation. You see the Spirit carrying along the people of Israel through the wilderness.
So maybe the pillar is the Spirit, or?
It could be, or that's the manifestation of God in the presence of Father, Son, and Spirit, right? But particularly probably on the people as they're building the tabernacle, Bezalel.
So you went to Exodus 31.
Yep.
Yeah.
Think of the Spirit that was on Saul. Think of the Spirit that was on David. Like when David messes up, he prays in Psalm 51, take not your Holy Spirit from me, because people were anointed with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, what was promised in the Old Testament, this, if you go to Isaiah 11, Isaiah 42, Isaiah 61, this is God saying, my anointed. Like there's a unique person coming. My anointed, the promised one, Messiah, that I am going to anoint with my Spirit. He's going to be full of the Spirit. And then he's going to give the Spirit. And that's a unique role, that the giving of the Spirit isn't to come on somebody like the Old Testament.
Come on and come
depart,
off.
Right.
Yeah, because Saul.
The Spirit departed Saul, right? But this is like, this Spirit is going to seal you. This is Ephesians 1. You've been sealed with the Spirit as a guarantee. Mm-hmm. So the Spirit is deposited into a believer and will not depart from a believer.
Yeah. Why is Exodus 31 so important when we think about the gifting of the Holy Spirit?
I love it because in two things. One, in 1 Corinthians, he's talking about how do we use our gifts for the building up of the body?
Yeah.
Like that's the purpose of gifts. So you've been administered a variety of graces not to be used for yourself. Like, well, I think when we think of gifts, we often think, what do I get?
Right.
Which, I mean, that's great, but this is the difference. The graces, what are you equipped with for the benefit of another? And when you see Exodus 31, the very beginning is someone is uniquely gifted in craftsmanship, in the use of metals and woods, artistry, for the building of the tabernacle. So here's the first example of someone who is uniquely gifted so that the body of believers would be built up and be brought into unity, which would be worship around the tabernacle.
Yeah, it'd be cool if our producer produced a photo of that on YouTube during this section, because it's a beautiful, beautiful display of the creativity of a human being ushered in by the Holy Spirit to do something like that.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I think it just goes to the relationship that God wants with human beings. Mm-hmm. So what you see is God is fully committed from the very beginning to rule and reign the world through human agent. Adam and Eve put in the garden to rule, to govern, to bring forth its resources. God wants to work through human agent.
Yeah.
He's so committed to it that he actually comes as human agent. It's not as though he's like, man, forget these humans, I'll do it myself. It's like, okay, I'm so committed to human agency in partnership with them that I myself will empty myself into humanity so that through human agent, the God-man, I'm going to save human beings. And now I'm bringing them into the church and I'm going to equip them with variety of graces so that my work is through human agency. I don't know. I just, you just think about, that's what God is up to. I really want to be in partnership with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And it's the sort of one of those threads throughout the whole scriptures, that that human agency piece of the kingdom, of the reign and rule of God.
Yeah.
Through human beings and through his son, who was a human being.
Yeah.
As well. Yeah, it's amazing.
One question I got from Sunday that I thought was actually a really good, had a good dialogue with an individual, was about, do you need to even know what your gifts are to be using them?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think that's completely accurate. And if you listen to Tom's sermons, I'm guessing between here and 14, he's going to say this a few times, that it's actually not about you understanding your gifts and then to serve, but to serve and then discover your gifts.
Yeah.
So that's a distinction I think the Americans want to know what is accurate before they start, whereas I've learned my spiritual gifts through my own experience. I'll speak to that. Through just a multiplicity of serving opportunities where I discovered what I'm great at, what has been a work of God in, and what I'm not gifted in.
Mm-hmm.
And that only comes through saying yes to a bunch of different things. I usually tell like a new believer who's asking that question, like, hey, what's my role? I'm saying, you should say yes to a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And as you say yes to a lot of things, you're going to learn what to say no to in the future because you know your gifting. And that's where the wisdom comes from, of living with Jesus Christ, dwelling with him, being formed in his image, and over a long period of time, I'm saying decades, you understand what your giftings are in order to contribute to the church. That's why in the scriptures have so much wisdom about elders being a certain stature, a certain age, or a certain time frame in life, that they should be mature believers. That's why the church has to look to older individuals of the faith in order to be led by, because they understand their gifting.
Mm-hmm.
And their giftings are on full display because they've said yes to Jesus for a very long time and learned what they're not good at or where the spiritual gifts are lacking in them to actually help each other. Does that make sense?
I shouldn't be looking for a spiritual gifts test in the back of this Bible.
You know, Jesus did not create one, although they can be helpful. You know, I think of someone on staff, and I'll mention her name because it's Keisha. She actually benefited immensely from a spiritual gifts test, and it was sort of the impetus for her to step out into serving in a church, was from a spiritual gifts test. It was the thing that was like,
yeah,
oh, I can try this. Now, are those spiritual gifts fully mature after a spiritual gifts test? No, but they're helpful.
Yeah.
It can be clarifying, which I think has a lot of wisdom in it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's good. I think to repeat for everyone who's listening, to know our spiritual gifts, you said, start serving.
Just serve.
So it's you in service.
Yep.
I love Paul puts it this way, like there's a variety of gifts, variety of services, a variety of activities. So we're going to learn what those gifts are in our life through service. And as we serve, we're going to learn what they are because people recognize them in us. Is that what you're saying?
That's right.
Yeah.
People will recognize them in you. You'll recognize them in yourself. Spiritual gifts are for others.
Yeah.
And that's an important thing. American mindset, spiritual gifts are for what I receive.
Right.
But because of the journey of being around wise people who spoke life into me, I now recognize more and more of the spiritual giftings.
Nice.
That the Lord has given.
Yeah.
What's the distinction between like your normal abilities? So maybe you're pre-Christ, you have some normal abilities, you come to Christ, and it seems like those normal abilities become spiritual gifts eventually.
It depends probably on the category. One thing that'd be interesting to explore, and I've heard this from more of a Reformed theology. So this was Michael Horton, I believe, in his section on the Holy Spirit, in his systematic theology, was he classified spiritual gifts as all graces of Jesus Christ. So the Spirit of God was on Jesus Christ, and Jesus basically ministered from three offices, which was the fullness of the promise of the anointed one. He was prophet, priest, and king. Mm-hmm. When we open up the book of Hebrews, we have a men's group going through the book of Hebrews right now. You're going to see Jesus in those functions.
Right.
The prophet, which is God speaking to people. The priest, where it's really the work of ministering to people, or even the ministry of people to God. And then king, which is the kingly leadership, direction, wisdom, so to speak, of moving people with people. Horton had classified all the spiritual gifts in those three categories. Is you're going to see the giftings that are prophetic giftings. Mm-hmm. You're going to see priestly giftings, and you're going to see kingly giftings. So I don't know how he would necessarily deposit each one, or if there's some overlap. There probably is.
Right.
But that's probably where, I mean, I'm interested in gravitating towards that thought is, okay, this is for the building of the body. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the prophet, priest, and king. We have a variety of gifts given that represent those three offices for the building up of the body, prophetic, you know, priestly and kingly gifts. And so that's where I would probably start having someone to think about, like, which grace of Jesus Christ is this?
Right.
Then I don't know. I think, like, in part, I just so appreciate that you've moved finding your gifting into activities of service and others recognizing them in you. But they also seem very situational. Like, I'm not totally sure that they're just your natural abilities superpowered. I know it's funny because, like, the word gifting actually has been hijacked, I think, by, I shouldn't say hijacked, it's been used. Because mm-hmm. hijacked means, like, it's inappropriate. But no, it's just used also of natural abilities.
Right.
So we look at, like, in our schools, for example, there's a bunch of kids. My kids aren't a part of this group, but it's like the gifted and talented.
Right.
And so you're recognizing really gifted abilities, and you're setting some kids apart as, like, wow, they're very, very smart. They're very, very, their aptitude for learning is, you know,
right.
it's just accelerated beyond their peers. And so let's, you know, make sure that we're giving them attention. I don't think that's spiritual gifting. I think the spiritual gifting is, it's graces, again, the charisma, the graces that he gives that maybe aren't necessarily in our natural disposition. But I think there's more to us than just the spiritual gift. I think that's where it gets a little confusing for people. It's like, should I just operate under my giftings? Well, no, there's also a personality that you have.
Right.
There are experiences that you've had. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a heart and passions that you have. So I think, actually, the idea of shape, which has been part of the EFCA for a little while, I think that's from Rick Warren, actually. Mm-hmm. Whether you like Rick or don't like Rick, whatever. I think his analysis on we serve from our shape is actually helpful because it includes spiritual gifts, but it includes more than spiritual gifts, but it doesn't blend the two, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Speak towards how you've seen just what people would classify ordinary Christians and their giftings and how you've seen them interact within the body here, even on the Erie campus.
Oh my gosh. I mean, when you see someone operating in their graces, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just like they are able to touch something, so to speak, mm-hmm. and it just works better for them. You know,
right.
It's just like, I don't know how that happens,
right.
But it's like, why is that individual able just to generate small groups? Why is that individual able to just open up the scriptures and have such divine wisdom? Like, they're not old enough for that. Like,
right.
They're not studied enough for some of these observations. And look at their discernments. I think that is attributed to people using their gifts, and I love seeing it. Our prayer team, there's people, I mean, everyone's called to pray, but there are unique people that, for whatever reason, have the gift of prayer, and we want them on our prayer team. And you can just see it. People just gravitate towards them. Like, they're ministered to in prayer, like they're comforted in prayer. Anyway, I don't know. I just think when you see it, you see someone doing something that you could do, but it just seems like it works out better when they're doing it.
Yeah, I completely agree.
How would you describe it? Give better language. I didn't do very
good. No, I think you're hitting the nail on the head there. It's like, man, it seems like there's individuals who have certain gifts in the midst of us who they would say, why can't anyone do that? That's easy for me.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, that's a spiritual gift,
yeah.
Right? And so I see it all the time in people who are about mercy, who remind us that the world is way bigger around us, and they remind us to the heart of God, and they serve those people, and they invite everyone to jump in which we all do, like Micah 6:8 and things. But when they do it, it just flourishes better.
Yeah.
And we learn through failure how God's heart is. And they learn through success of what God's heart for the widow or orphan or the refugee, wherever we're at. So those people that like are on the mission trip right now, I'm thinking of individuals there that have the gifting of just presence of the Holy Spirit to know what the Holy Spirit needs to do in a moment, a word that individuals who they're ministering to, and you're like, I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And they're like, you couldn't? Like, that's, you're like, that is a charisma, a gift from God. It's like you too. It's like, we talk about this. You're going to hate me talking about this, but like.
Don't worry, we can edit this part out.
You couldn't teach a preaching class. It would not be helpful.
It is unhelpful.
Yeah. And in fact, when the young guns, the young guys ask you how you create a sermon, and you share it, and you found some wisdom in not sharing anymore. But when you used to share, they'd be like coming out of there like dizzy, like, that didn't make sense. And you're like, yeah, that's because he has a spiritual gift in our community, a distinguishing mark of charisma, not from your work, not because Thomas is awesome, yeah. It's because the Holy Spirit has gifted you in this to preach the word of God in a way in which we benefit from. And so those are usually the distinctions between the gifts and abilities is like, if my producer, Mark Wicks, and I, if I taught Mark to do something I did, he would find it probably frustrating and vice versa. And those are usually the giftings of the Spirit that are the distinction. And that's why he matters on this team. That's why I matter on this team. That's why you matter. And that's what Paul is trying to remind the Corinthians is like, hey, don't rank these in hierarchical needs or who's cooler, because it looks cool to be Thomas Milburn on stage, but it also looks cool to be that person who's on the prayer team who can pray in a way in which I cannot pray. It's amazing. It's just the body of Christ flourishing, really, in honesty.
I wonder in what category your gifts also have to be connected to areas that you have to be dependent on the Lord.
Yeah.
So, for example, my natural disposition is to flee anything that's up front.
Right.
Like, my desire would actually be to be the person that serves in an unknown way.
Yep. You would like to come in on Wednesday night at 9 p.m. and clean the building.
That would be
turn
ideal.
Turn on the lights, turn them off, and disappear.
Yeah. And everyone's like, man, this is great. Who did that? Like, doesn't matter. And it's funny how I often see where people have this, I don't know if it's attention or if it's juxtaposition, where it's like, I think the Lord has gifted me here. And at the same time, like, it kind of bumps up against, like, what I actually want to do, and so I have to be faithful to do it.
Right.
Or I have to be dependent to do it. I don't know. Is that your experience?
Oh,
or
totally.
What do you think?
And it's like how my men's group works, right? Like, I just met with my co-leader this morning over coffee, which is important distinction, coffee, to have a meeting. And he has the gift of discernment. Like, he can discern, that's not coffee, Thomas. That's something other. Maybe the work of the flesh. Maybe the work of a flesh.
It's great.
But he has the gift of discernment, right? And then I have the gift of faith. Like, the Lord's just going to be faithful.
Yeah.
Let's just see you tomorrow at men's group.
Yeah.
Because God's going to do something there. And he's like, what is God? I feel like God's doing this in us. And I'm like, cool, let's go do that.
Yeah.
And it's like the gifting of our leadership is so different, but yet so beneficial to our guys and to me, that like I'm dependent upon him for those gifts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And here's the thing. The reason we went, or where I went on Sunday, I think is so important, is because we often just dismiss the Spirit's activity in our life, or we're not like trying to discover the Spirit's leading or movement in our life, when it was absolutely essential to the entire life, death, resurrection, ministry of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so if that was the, I hate to use the word animating, but if that's like the source of energy for Jesus' birth, baptism, temptation, ministry, death, and resurrection, like, I want to be connected to that energy.
Yeah. You don't want to wake up without it.
Yeah. Which he says, like, the God who empowers all of these, that's who that's what I want to be connected to. I think that's what I'm invited to abide in.
Yeah.
John 15, like, abide in me.
All or we're empowered by one in the same spirit, yeah, that's capitalized, who apportions to each one individuals as he wills.
Yeah.
So your gifting is by God's will.
Which is, I think we're going to unpack more of that this week, but it's so important to recognize, like, what I'm trying to discover is what God has graced me with, mm-hmm, not what I have earned,
right,
not what I can achieve, not what I can produce. So, like, when you see some of these spiritual gifts classes or books or whatever, it's like, learn to, whatever, speak in tongues, or learn to do healings, or learn, it's like, no. It says that he chooses, mm-hmm, and he decides who gets these things.
Yeah.
They're graces.
I think you need to learn these spiritual gifts. So, like, read those books, not because you want to have the ability to do them, but to understand when you recognize them in others that that's what's going on.
Yeah, to have a good understanding of what God's graces are.
Right. So that you can call out in others,
yeah,
what they don't see though in themselves. Like, I have a gentleman who has, it's strange, but he has the gift of praying and people being healed. Hmm. And not all the time. This is not like a supernatural. He's not going to create a healing ministry or anything like that. But there's times when I have seen him lay his hands on people and then they get better.
Yeah.
Now, they might get better through medicine right away. They might get through better their doctor visit the next day. Sometimes it's supernatural, mm-hmm, that we just chalk up to like the work of God, right? Like, that is a spiritual gift that I would long to have. That is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to read about the gift of healing, but I know that that is not my gift and I should recognize it in others, so that when I find a friend who is sick or hurting, I know who has the spiritual gift to say, you need to talk to this and let him pray for you.
Yeah.
And let him in on what's going on in your world. And then that's because we're the body,
yeah,
and we're all individual members, but we play together in unity.
I think what you mentioned about not, use that word, not always, not every, right, time, because I think oftentimes people get their identity from maybe a spiritual gift that God, yeah, has used through them, and we misunderstand what's happening as though you're the healer,
right,
as opposed to, no, God is the healer that has graced Jay as an instrument for, right, me to receive that. Right. So, for example, Paul, we know, had healed some, mm-hmm, but he didn't heal everybody.
Nope.
There's people in Corinth that are unhealed. So even though maybe there's a ministry of healing happening in First Corinthians, there's still people who are sick and dying.
Right.
We know that Paul has a physical ailment, probably, that's a thorn in his flesh,
right,
that he's unable to heal in himself.
Right.
And so that's, I think, important to just keep in our catalog of giftings. Like, okay, this is graces of God, mm-hmm, through someone at certain times. It doesn't mean that there's like this predictable vending machine of like A7, deposit, like, you know, please dispense, yeah, this item.
I'm always reminded of Lazarus and like, yes, Jesus raised him from the dead, but eventually Lazarus died again.
Yeah.
And he won't be raised until the great resurrection, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm always reminded that God did a special work in Lazarus, but he also let Lazarus die once again.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a gifting from the Lord Jesus Christ to do that in a certain moment in time and place for us to see his value, his power, his authority over death. But eventually, Lazarus, you know, can live forever.
Well, he came, yeah, to your point, like, Jesus is doing something in Lazarus to restore life to him. Mm-hmm. But he's not resurrected like Jesus is resurrected.
Right.
So he's not just resuscitated, but he's like, life in the flesh is restored to him, mm-hmm, but he dies again. Jesus, the resurrection that like Paul's going to talk about in 1 Corinthians 15 is Jesus' resurrection.
And
like new bodies.
New bodies.
Yeah, new, yeah, life that is unending, which is different.
Which is different, yeah.
But you had made a comment yesterday when Tom was talking about Jesus' healing of the blind man, where he spits in the dirt and, you know, rubs it on the eyes. And it's like, okay, so do the healing ministries now just spit in the dirt? It's like, no, God chooses. He's the agent, mm-hmm, and he chooses agency to do these things. Mm-hmm. I think to keep us, I think you mentioned yesterday, from trusting in prescriptive measures,
right,
and always trusting and abiding in him.
Right. And here's the best part about that is he never works the same way twice. And that is because he's a creative God. I mean, just look at his creation and the incredible diversity in which he has created things, mm-hmm, animals, plants, the world. It just reveals more and more to me that, like, he's a creative God. So he might do a work in you this time that way, but next time, there's no prescription for that.
Yeah.
It's just trusting in the Lord Jesus' provision for your life, and he'll work a different way.
Yeah.
That means a different way. So I think that's important to remember. Okay, if you could give one word. I like one word.
One word. Yeah.
No. One idea.
You are like a one-word guy.
I am a one-word guy.
Stand up and give us one word why you like Calvary.
Yep. If you give us this one sort of nugget of gold to hold on to this week about the Holy Spirit, what would it be?
That's good. I would use this word. This is going to lead into our week, this next week, which is dependence. Mm-hmm. So we want to be dependent on the Holy Spirit as the source of our life. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to see is that we're going to be interdependent with one another as the body of believers. I just think we are just living on our own strength. I am too. I am living on my own abilities, my own strengths, my own skill set. Far too regular as opposed to being dependent on the work of the Holy Spirit.
That's a good word, Thomas. Thanks for that. Thanks for sitting down. Hey, Calvary, we're hopeful that you were encouraged today as we talked about the work of the Spirit, what the Spirit is doing in us, what the Spirit is doing here in our local church, Calvary Bible Church. We're so glad you're tuning in. Just know that the Lord Jesus Christ has ordained you here within this local body for a time and place so that you could contribute to what he is doing in the world around us. Don't forget that you matter so much to the health and vibrancy of Calvary Bible Church. Don't let the enemy persuade you any other way. Let me end you with this. Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your body as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Catch this in verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I hope you have a great week. Don't forget to hit up calvarybible.com. Click your campus. Stay connected. Get connected. Because you matter so much here at Calvary. See you soon.